Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. I am joined, as always, by my good friend Charles. Charles, are you there?
I'm here, Timmy. I'm here. I'm happy
and
to be here.
The lovely Brandy. Brandy, are you there?
I am here, Timmy.
No. The lovely Brandy. We're looking for the lovely Brandy. not the devil, hateful, pus-filled soul Brandy. The lovely Brandy.
You know, didn't we just get a review that said that somebody he liked to hear himself talk?
Why would they have taken such a shot at Timmy like that?
They did use the pronoun he, so I don't know if they were talking about me or my good friend Charles, but
We can only speculate at this point.
I don't think it's a speculation at all.
We did get a bad review. I know that's hard to believe, but we did get a bad review. But anyway, today we're going to talk about the death of Yvette Vickers. Yvette Vickers was a B-movie actress in the 1950s. So blonde bombshell, Colonel. I know you like blonde bombshells.
I like any kind of blonde shell, Timmy. Red-headed blonde shells, brunette blonde shells, black-haired.
What's
blonde
a blonde shell?
Shell?
Bombshell.
Bombshells. Bloodshells, bombshells.
What does that mean exactly? What does bombshell mean actually? It just means they got big breasts.
It does. It looks breasts like torpedoes, Timmy.
Ah, I see. So
torpedoes.
Yvette was a blonde bombshell. She played in the cult classic Attack of the 50-Foot Woman.
And you know, there ain't nothing worse than an angry woman. And imagine 150 foot tall, Timmy. I mean, it's worse. Godzilla ran away from a 50 foot woman, Timmy. Godzilla was.
Yeah,
like,
she breaks that.
Oh, no.
You know, have you ever seen it? She breaks out. They have her tied down, some mad scientist or something. And she breaks, using her breasts, she breaks through the straps.
Of course. So,
quality yeah. movie there. But anyway,
if you got Vickers, those kind of breasts, you know, now a 50-foot woman, imagine the vag on this woman, Timmy.
Oh, my God.
But you know what? I'd give it a shot. I think I'm up for it, Timmy. I've written the book, and my next book is going to be How to Make Love to a 10-foot and over woman, Timmy.
Because you might need to work on that title.
yeah, but that'd be quite the. You could just crawl right in. But you know, it'd be easier to find the G spot that way, Timmy, because you could put one of those snorkeling hats on, get you a GPS, and then go in there.
I feel like this is enough Colonel time.
Well, you know, if that was a 50-foot woman had a baby, she would actually have an adult.
She would. That'd be one ugly baby, too.
Anyway, let me introduce our panel. So before we get started,
would you do like a chainsaw to give a C-section,
God,
to me?
Enough.
We'll have plenty of time, Colonel, to talk about Amazon women. Just give me a second to introduce you.
You know, I like my women big, Timmy. I like my women big.
I know, Colonel.
I want to remind. Wife is tickled to death to hear that.
Well, you know, our girl Tasha Banks, she's 6 foot tall, Timmy.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
she's
she is tall.
That is 6 foot of beauty right there, Timmy.
Yeah, but you don't want to play her one-on-one basketball.
Well, I think I could beat her.
Let me remind everyone that we are a comedy podcast and we use adult language. And sometimes people may be offended by some of the language that Brandy uses. So we would like to suggest if adult language offends you, then
just
we would
like to.
Just
hit the fucking door. If it offends you, then hit the fucking door. Stay locked up in your house. The coronavirus won't get you. If it offends you, nobody wants to be around you anyway. So let me
introduce a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, who, by the way, Colonel, people on our Facebook page or Facebook group, History Dweebs, the podcast, demand more Brandy time.
Sometimes you got to protect people from themselves, Timmy.
This country is not known
for its good choices, Timmy. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think it was more like the Iowa caucus, that poll. But
it was. Yeah.
Let me introduce a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, a lady who is known for her, I don't know.
Perfect.
Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you today, Brandy, if at all?
I'm all right, Timmy. Still fighting this sinus thing, but it's a beautiful day outside, and you know I'm with all of my favorite people and you too. So I mean, I'm good, hanging in there.
Are you recovering, Devil? Is your illness going away?
I have to go Tuesday to see the ENT, and he'll probably stick a hose up my nose or something and flush it out. Who knows?
Up your nose with a rubber hose.
Were you patient zero in the coronavirus?
I absolutely was not, but thank you for that distinction.
I had
absolutely not.
Are you still wearing boots?
Before.
Yeah, that one sucks.
Are you still wearing boots, Brandy?
No, I'm not wearing my boot anymore. Not wearing my boot anymore. And so I'm, but I am wearing tennis shoes, so I'm sure the wardrobe police at work will say something, because that's what they do.
Well,
I'm wearing tennis shoes. And
Chuck felt you were quite attractive in your... He likes medical supplies. Anytime you have to use medical supplies, it's good.
I bet a catheter really gets him going.
And it's a little personal, but...
Colostomy bag.
We're all friends. But when you walk by my office, Devil, I get a boot boner. Yeah, I get a boot boner.
You might want to give him that boot after you.
I like me a woman who can't run fast, Timmy.
I understand, well, Colonel.
With or without the boot, I'm not, winning any sprint races. So, but no, everything's good. It's, hanging in there, waiting on spring.
Well, that was quite the Brandy time, Colonel.
Quite unenlightening.
Brandy, let me introduce a man who is inspiration to, the podcasting world. He's known as the most dangerous man in podcasting today.
He is not.
He really brings, when he was born, he brought with him a new age of enlightenment, Brandy.
I'm like Andrew Yang. Andrew Yang talked about the fourth great revolution, Timmy.
You are a Yang. You really
and
are.
I am that fourth great revolution, Timmy.
The fourth grade revolution. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
A man who has been called an oasis, Brandy, in the desert of despair.
He is not.
He has been described.
Oh,
well,
my
really,
God.
He, Let me just introduce him, and he can tell you all about it himself.
I'm sure he will.
The Honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm not good, Timmy.
And there it is.
I'm not good.
Perfect. What's wrong, Colonel? Unburden yourself.
I'm pretty sure the coronavirus, a year from now, you know, after the thinning of the herd, the great culling, people are going to be listening and say, oh, the colonel predicted it. The coronavirus is going to get us, Timmy. It's going to get us.
You're concerned that it's going to be a pandemic.
It's already out in California, Timmy.
Wait a minute. I'm not sure how it's going to get either one of you, because neither one of you leave your office or your homes.
That's not true. I'm going to South Carolina this week.
Yeah.
I
think I can take back Fort Sumter. I have a plan.
I have a plan.
Yes. I've got Leanne with me, and she's going to help me.
Yeah, see, that's where you're going wrong, Timmy. I'm just telling you. You're taking that girl with you. And it would not surprise me if next week, you know, because Leanne's very sweet, and she has this way of getting people to follow her and go along with her, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
So if next week I hear about South Carolina seceding from the Union again, she might get him to hook back up with Britain, Timmy.
So you think she might be a double agent?
Oh, I think she's a quadruple agent, Timmy.
I will keep my eye on her. So what else, Colonel? What else is going on with you?
It's cold and my bones hurt. And, you know, normally this stuff doesn't worry me, Timmy, but the coronavirus is killing old people, Timmy. Now, that just seems mean of a virus.
Well, you know, that used to be when there was a flu and it'd say, oh, you know, it's killing old people. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, babies are old people, right? So what do I care, really? But now, Colonel, we're getting at that age where we got to be concerned about that.
We got to be.
Now you're
old
people.
Exactly.
Our privilege is working against us, Timmy.
Apparently.
Yeah, apparently being part of the great patriarchy, Timmy, is not on our side in this one. It's all fun and games till there's a pandemic, Timmy.
That's very true. Now, Colonel, are you done editing your book, How to Make Love?
I'm still working on it.
He's going to be a best-selling author, Brandy.
Really not.
I'm still working on it. We've had title issues, and then my editor quit. So,
well, people seem to like your names.
Did not just quit. Ripped his eyes out.
Yeah, there's a do not disclose. I cannot discuss it to me.
Yeah, ripped his own eyes out from reading that book.
Was he upset at the names you had for
penis? It was a she, devil.
Oh,
you sexist woman. Why couldn't an editor possibly be a woman? See, you automatically say it must be a he because it's a person in power. But it was a she, devil.
Is that it?
It was a she, yeah. So how about that, Miss Sexist Little Tart?
All right, let's talk about the
Although
the
I do appreciate
picture.
Being called a tart. Thank you.
Well, Brandy, that brings it. Well, since you opened that door.
Yeah.
Right.
Have you heard from your economics professor lately? Well, she you brought it up.
You did open you did open that line of questioning by
I absolutely did not.
Tart was mentioned, devil. And not in a pastry way.
Let's talk about Yvette Vickers. The death of any famous actor or actress is always a sad occasion for many film fans, whether it's a big mainstream star or a popular cult name. Who do you have in the death pool, Colonel, this year?
Rock Hudson, Timmy.
Rock Hudson. Isn't he already dead?
Pretty
Oh,
much
God damn it. Not The Rock. The Rock's dead?
Rock Hudson. Anyway.
I got my people mixed up, I think.
Okay. Nothing could be worse than the tragic death of a mysterious in mysterious circumstances surrounding the death of one Yvette Vickers. Yvette Vickers found her Colt spurs. You like that, Colonel? How I said that?
Right,
Colt spurs.
I mean, you just started this one off.
Don't be needy, Tim.
It's like Timmy. It's like being the leadoff hitter and hitting a home run the first pitch of the game, Timmy.
Like Ricky Henderson.
Yeah, kinda. Just jacking one up into the upper deck, first row.
So Yvette Vickers found her Colt spurs in the 50s as star of several popular low-budget science fiction films. Although more talented than most of the blonde bombshells of that era, she could not escape her B-movie typecasting, and despite coming extremely close, failed to obtain the major film stardom she was capable of achieving. She was actually a very good actress, but she got typecast in these B-movies. I know, Colonel, you've been typecast before in your life.
Been. Yeah.
As a savior.
Savior, the romantic lead who can always come in and soothe the woman and really bring a sexual healing to the woman, Timmy.
Well, that's a great burden I know you have, Colonel, of being the burden you have as a stereotype of the man who can come in and sexually satisfy a wildebeest.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, and it's not easy. It's not easy being a colonel, Timmy. It's not easy.
Maybe that should be the name of your autobiography, Colonel. It's not easy.
It's not easy being a colonel.
Well, branching out into other areas of entertainment did not prevent Yvette, her minor film status, from falling into obscurity. And as such, her sad and lonely death illustrates only too well the creepy downside of Hollywood, Brandy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, born Lola Yvette Van Veeter in Kansas City, Missouri. You ever been
to
Kansas
Timmy.
City?
I've been there. Hold on. You mentioned Lola to me, so I got to bust one out.
Okay.
My boys, the Kinks. Lola. L-O-L-A, Lola. That was my British accent, Timmy.
I like that, Colonel. That was about a transsexual,
well,
right?
I'm not dumb, but I can't understand why she walk like a woman but talk like a man. Oh, my Lola.
Oh, my God.
Transgender, I guess.
Lola.
I think the proper, I said transsexual, I think it's transgender now, right? That's the proper.
No, term. I think Lola was a, Lola was a drag queen, Timmy.
Okay, so what's the proper, transvestite? I mean, what's the proper?
Transvestite would be.
Okay, yeah. We don't want to, I mean, this was, yeah, okay.
We
so
are,
anyway.
We don't want to be politically incorrect on this page, Timmy, on this podcast.
We don't. We do not, no. We love all of our brothers and sisters. But anyway, she was born in Kansas City on August 26, 1936. Yvette moved to California with her family. She came from a very talented family. She moved to California with her family when she was 6 months old. And her parents began working as musicians as she was touring with both of them from birth. They were into jazz and stuff. She came from a musical background. Both her parents were successful recording artists. So, Colonel, have you ever do you have any CDs by Chuck Vedder? He was the
I do actually. Chuck Vedder, me and Robert Goulet formed a trio one time, Timmy.
I see.
Robert Goulet.
Yeah, we did some love songs, Timmy.
I see. Robert Goulet could drop some panties, Brandy.
Well, actually, that was the name of the title. Dropping Panties. That's what we called it. Songs to drop panties by.
I'm going to have to look at on iTunes for that one, Colonel.
Oh, it's a top seller, Timmy.
I bet it is. Anyway, Yvette's father, Charles Van Vetter, was, as I said, saxophone player formed the Chuck Vedder Trio. So check him out on YouTube.
Yeah, and you know what his grandson went on to do? Went on to form Pearl Jam, Timmy.
I don't think that's the case, but maybe we'll go with that. The group specialized in rock and roll and jazz instrumentals. Her mother, Maria, had carved out as a career as a concert pianist, Colonel.
Well, pianist. Pianist. She was just a tiny little penis, Timmy.
But she was in concert with it.
but her fingers were magic, Timmy.
Being the daughter of two successful musicians, she gave her a strong appreciation of jazz. Yvette had a happy childhood, but spent much of the time on the road. During her youth, Yvette traveled with her parents to various gigs that they had where they performed their music. Following an education at a Catholic high school, oh, Colonel, I bet she had those little Catholic skirts on, you think?
You know, those only look good on...
Oh, my God.
No,
I see them in porn.
I see them in porn a lot. There's Catholic school porn. But you really got to be 40 to pull that off without being really creepy, Timmy.
You mean
the woman's got to be 40?
Oh, the woman. Okay, the woman. Yeah. Okay.
You get a woman because I ain't wanting people to think that I'm sitting outside Catholic schools, you know, with my trench coat on. But
they do. There's a lot of porn around that.
There is, and I don't really. You would think priests would look at that kind of porn. I don't know if there's a big market for priest porn, but
priest porn. I don't remember seeing that as a category on
Pornhub. Yeah. Oh yeah, people like the guys with the collars because women think they're a forbidden fruit. To me, you know how women are. They gotta have whatever you tell them they can't have. That's what they got to have, Timmy.
So, Brandy, do you find the man of the cloth sexual arousing to you?
No.
What's your fantasy, Brandy? I mean, not to get too... I mean, not to talk about specifics, but, like, you know, cowboys or...
No, it's actually that we could get rodeo through a clowns? Podcast without diving into Chuck's bullshit.
Do you have a thing about rodeo
Clearly,
clowns?
That's exactly level? What it is. No, clowns are scary.
Economic yeah, professors. I think she's she's attracted to intelligent men, Colonel. That's why she's on this podcast.
Well, it probably is, and that's why at work every once in a while she'll touch me inappropriately.
I do not. Actually, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Charles, the only time I really touch you is to hit you.
Well, you bit me one time, too.
Well, the one time, but you took my Pop-Tart, so,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know
that
if you
want to... That was fair enough. I had that coming.
You did. You did.
All right. So, anyway, Yvette went to Catholic schools. What else did she do? Oh, she studied journalism in college.
That was back before the internet. After that, journalist majors, you might as well just throw it away to me.
Right.
All you're going to do is have a blog in your basement and nobody's going to read it.
Yeah. Well, she switched majors to theater and art. She went to UCLA. And despite having a good singing voice, she decided not to follow her parents' footsteps, at least right away, and she opted for an acting career instead of a career as a singer. While at UCLA, go Bruins, she took a class in acting and discovered that she enjoyed it, so she changed her major to drama, as I said. She began making television commercials, and she acted in variety reviews and an occasional Broadway show. Brandy, your thoughts on that?
Good for her.
What else happened to her, Brandy?
Well, let me tell you all about her. So, in her early life, let's see. Oh, she had success. Okay.
Oh, for fuck's sake, you don't even know where we're at in the script. Could you pay attention? No, you don't. I heard you.
I do.
Timmy and I know when you're groping and searching, devil. We've been working so too long. Timmy, was that unprofessional?
It really was, Brandy. Maybe you should have majored in theater. Because one thing they teach you at UCLA, of course, the Colonel and I studied at the Somme.
We did.
And one thing they, yeah, they wouldn't.
Neither
they,
one
they,
of you can even say that or spell that.
S O M M E?
Apostrophe.
Anyway,
yeah, exactly. So, we, hey, listen.
We studied on the, the left bank in Paris.
Linda. Linda.
Smoke cigarettes. Smoke cigarettes, yeah. Drank coffee. We had little berets.
War beret.
Yeah, we did. Yes.
We did right, have berets. So.
What do they teach you there, Timmy? Hit your goddamn mark. Hit your goddamn mark, devil.
They taught us to read the script.
And read the script, yeah.
And okay. I still Linda. Have my beret. Thank you.
Of course you do. Linda.
I got a raspberry beret, devil.
Yvette.
The
no.
kind you find.
Hit me, hit me with.
Do not
hit me with
ever.
Little Prince.
I wore a raspberry beret, the kind you find
rain,
in a secondhand store. Raspberry beret,
Prince
and
just
when
threw
I
up
record,
in his mouth.
I don't wear much more. How you like that one, devil?
Boy, I mean, he can just do that on a dime, Brandy. He doesn't right. no prep or anything. He can just sing. What? He's a regular.
No prep.
Carry.
No way.
He's a regular. I think we're going to have to call you Mr. Karaoke from now on, Colonel.
I'm really the all 50 right. cent of my time, Timmy.
You really are. Yeah. You're 35 cent.
I'm 35.
He's a dime. He's a dime bag. All right.
Oh, I've been called a dime before, devil.
Yeah. So,
can
Yvette.
Can you buy dime bags anymore?
No.
You can't?
So, no.
No?
They don't measure them that way anymore.
They don't.
Damn,
it's really disappointing.
No, they go by grams now. Back in our day, it was kind of you know, like the honor system is like, no, nah, man, you got skinny fingers. I said two fingers, not two of your skinny ass fingers. I want two of Bobby's fat fingers. So
nickel
now
you could buy a nickel bag for $5, right?
Nickel, dime, quarter. Yeah.
Now everybody's got scales, and it's all about grams and.
Yeah,
kids it's fuck up everything. Fucking metric system's what it is.
It is. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
I'm ready. If you're ready,
Yvette,
the question is, were you ready? You weren't ready.
Yvette later moved to New York City to model New York City to model for my favorite high school shampoo, White Rain.
Ooh.
While in New York,
you get that you get that coconut flavored or whatever it is. Not flavored.
It's not
you know what
flavored,
saying.
Right? Yeah, scented. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that.
Okay.
You put that on your body parts all over. You know, you put it on your head, of course, but you can put it other places too. Colonel, it'll smell really nice.
Oh, you
really
can.
Nice. Women go crazy. Little white
while
rain.
In New York,
women just drop to their knees.
Vickers acted in a variety of revues and occasional Broadway shows, but Yvette soon grew tired of the Big Apple and returned to Hollywood to pursue a motion picture career. Her first movie appearance is listed under the name Yvette Vedder in Sunset Boulevard in 1950, although she was not listed in the production credits.
So she was star. She was there with what was
Vivian
was
Lee.
Yeah, but what Marlon was the Brando. Name? What was the name of the character in that? What Sunset Boulevard?
Stella.
Stella. Oh,
it's the one
no,
that
Stella.
Carol Burnett made fun of, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Nora Desmond.
Nora Desmond.
Yeah.
I love Nora Desmond. That's what one of my friends looks like when she's stoned.
And Max.
She looks just like Nora Desmond. Let's see. Yvette made her first movie appearance under the Vickers name in Shortcut to Hell. An instant classic that was made in 1957 and directed by James Cagney.
Should be the name of this podcast, actually.
In the same year, she starred in American International Pictures Reform School Girl.
Ooh. Ooh.
Her image was used for the movie's theatrical poster and depicted her and fellow actress Gloria Castillo fighting each other.
Ooh, that's hot, Colonel.
So the poster's been subsequently a collector's item. It's become a collector's item among film buffs. Despite her marginal success as an actress, Yvette had difficulty finding true love. She often ended up with men who were either abusive, unfaithful, or both.
Assholes.
Yeah, it sounds like she made poor choices.
She did. In 1953, Vickers married jazz bassist Don Prell. But the marriage didn't last long. Prell was on the road a lot and had numerous affairs during their short marriage.
She advertised for White Rain, and his last name was Prell. I think that was the problem.
Exactly.
You think so?
Yeah.
Fundamental difference.
Do they even make the Prell anymore? Because that was a good shampoo.
Yeah. It was green. It was green, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, and they still do make the Prell.
And you only needed a little pearl-sized drop in your hand. Remember that?
Yeah.
Put a little pearl-sized drop in there.
I'm telling you right now, there was nothing better in life. There were two hairsprays in the 80s and 90s, White Rain and Aquanet.
Oh, Aquanet.
Aquanet.
You could actually, now to be pretty goddamn flammable, but you could build a house out of straw and Aquanet.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Now, it'd burn to the ground with the first spark, but, you know, so it wouldn't last.
You couldn't smoke in that house. Right.
Yeah. Man, if you had invested heavily in hairspray in the 80s, you would have been a billionaire.
In the 90s.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Been rich.
All right, so the couple separated in 1955 and divorced in 1957, and it was around this time that Yvette decided to put her love life on hold and focus on her acting career, such as it was. Making a permanent move to Hollywood, she finally made her official film debut after being picked for a leading role by James Cagney. We already talked about Shortcut to Hell, but the film flopped at the box office.
Well, James Cagney, when I think of James Cagney, I think of Edgar G.
Cagney
Robinson.
Cagney and Lacey.
And
no, I...
Colonel, do wait. A little Edgar G. Robinson for us.
Oh.
Look here, coppers. You never take me alive, coppers. Look, Mama. You know, Mama. Remember it right at the end of Public Enemy. Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Or whatever he said there. He gave a long, touching speech to his mama as he was dying.
I think that was Waylon Jennings. Girl.
Oh, okay, yeah. That was, yeah.
Yeah, he probably did it too. All right, so Vickers slowly worked her way from bit parts to leading roles in low-budget movies. A beautiful blonde with a lovely round face and expressive blue eyes, she was 5'3 and weighed 105 pounds. She was ideal for girl-next-door parts that may have been a tad out of place in the 50s when most young men were drooling at Marilyn Monroe and Jane Mansfield.
Well,
shortly after her divorce in 1957, Yvette secured her cult status in the science fiction classic Attack of the 50-Foot Woman.
Oh, here we go, Colonel. Amazon.
Attack.
It starred the equally statuesque Allison Hayes in the title role. As playing Honey Parker, the voluptuous mistress of the lead character's
voluptuous.
Husband. Vickers holds her own despite being literally overshadowed by her towering co-star. The film's storyline concerns the plight of a wealthy heiress, played by Allison Hayes, whose close encounters with an enormous alien in his round spacecraft causes her to grow into a giantess, complicating her marriage already troubled by a philandering husband.
Well, it seemed like that would not complicate it. It seemed like that would put, you know, if you're 50 feet tall, you could pretty much dictate what happens in your marriage.
Well,
you could dictate what happens. You know, Timmy, this is for a 50-foot woman. This is what I call, this is a trick when you got a really large woman. It's called the slip and slide, Timmy.
All right.
Now, what you do is you soak down the clitoral area, right? And then you just get a good run.
What do you get, like a garden hose?
A garden hose, yeah. You get a garden hose, some vegetable oil. And then you have them laid down to me, and then you get a good running start from the belly button, and then just when you hit down there, you just dive and slide right across it.
Perfect.
It's called the slip and slide.
Well, okay. If I ever run into a 50-foot woman, I'll keep that in mind, Colonel.
The movie, The Attack of the 50-Foot Woman, was a modest success in 1958 when it was released. With its low budget of around $88,000, Attack of the 50-Foot Woman made enough money to prompt the discussion of a sequel. However, unfortunately, a sequel never materialized.
Damn.
The movie gained appreciation with a new generation of film fans in the 1980s and is now considered a cult classic. As we mentioned before, the movie poster was sold as, has sold millions of copies and is now considered a collector's item. Yvette Vickers consolidated her B-movie bad girl image with the equally hilarious Attack of the Giant Leeches in 1959.
Now, that was a classic, Colonel. You have to admit that was
a fine
film.
Oh, that was
a
scary one. That is not one for the children, Timmy.
No,
you should
that's
have
true.
To be. That's why they came out with the PG-17 rating, because that was so goddamn scary. Kids were just
giant leeches. It's
yeah,
scary.
so lifelike.
Now I wonder how you get how does a woman who just okay, you're 50 feet. Imagine this, just the logistics of this. Okay, you're 50 foot tall.
Oh my god.
So other, you know, and this is back before the colonel's time, so you can't really call the colonel in
is
and
it?
Say, "Hey, I know you can handle any situation." So this woman basically in a situation where she got to pleasure herself.
Uh-huh.
Where do you find a vibrator for a 50-foot woman? What does that even look like?
He's got a point, Brandy. He's got a point. And Lord,
I mean, do you think
be around
it's the top of his head?
Do you think it was just a washing machine? Like she just got bought a washing machine and a bunch of extension cords and just kept it on his
Colonel,
head? I mean,
Colonel,
what do you do?
Colonel, you wouldn't want to be around her 5 days out of the month.
Oh, no, you would not. No, you would not.
Okay.
Look like the
so
Texas
the movie,
Chainsaw Massacre up here.
There's not enough Reese cups, Colonel.
Reese cups?
Hey. The movie, Attack of the Giant Leeches. Oh, for fuck's sake. Really? That's what got you? Reese cups? Because that joke has never been made.
No, because, I mean, that's how Louisville was lost. She just woke up, couldn't find enough chocolate, and she just stomped all Louisville out. What is it that, is there something in chocolate that soothes, like, you know how on the Wolfman it says music soothes a savage beast? Is there something in chocolate, Devil? Is there something in the chocolate? Or is it just the feeling of being orally satisfied by the taste of the chocolate?
No, there's definitely something in the chocolate.
Okay, so it can't be. So just a donut won't do.
Well, if it's a chocolate donut.
A chocolate donut. Okay, anything chocolate, basically.
Yes.
Chocolate
okay.
ice cream.
I think it's just an excuse to eat chocolate myself.
Oh, it is. It's like being pregnant 5 days a month. Well, I'm eating for two here, me and my period. So. And,
you know here's,
they're in a position where you don't want to say anything to them because they shank you, Timmy.
Here's the thing.
Well, they're 50 foot tall. They can step on you.
Yeah, they will.
You know what? Here's the thing. I would challenge either one of you to walk around and for 5 days out of the month have blood dripping out of your peckers and see how you handle it.
Well, you know,
I would challenge either one of you to do that.
I think I would handle it with grace.
I think, Timmy, would
you wouldn't handle it with grace.
As my wise...
You would cry. You would cry.
As my wise granddaddy
once
told me,
Devil.
Can we
talk about the Attack of the Giant Leeches?
Well, first of all, Brandy, you're assuming we don't walk around with blood on our penis.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know what's dripping out of my penis. You don't know that.
All right.
Here's what my granddaddy told me, Devil. Here's what my granddaddy, and this is advice. Never mess with anything that can bleed for 6 or 7 days and not die.
Okay. Yeah, see, he was a wise man, Colonel.
He was a wise man. They can bleed for 7 days and not die. You just leave them alone.
Is this the granddad that died in the sanitarium?
It was.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Brandy.
All right. Okay,
madness and genius
you.
Thin line to me.
I wonder if they're going to start opening coronavirus sanitariums. Yeah, that might be something to invest in, Colonel.
You know, there's money to be made in this coronavirus, Timmy. There's money
made. You know, they put people in caves. You know Mammoth Cave here in Kentucky?
Mm-hmm.
Do I need to be here?
They used to put people with TB in there. They put them in a fucking cave.
Well, they should.
Well, that's how, you know, my stepdad, this ain't no lie. He came
really
from so deep in the mountains in Tennessee, and then the tuberculosis, the consumption started getting passed around, that they sent him to Cincinnati when he was 17 years old. This is a true story. 17 years of life, Timmy.
I know, and I've already lost interest in it.
He had never seen two things that struck him. Uh-huh. A loaf of bread for sale.
Okay.
A loaf of bread for sale. 17 years, he'd never seen a black person, Timmy. Because where he lived? Yeah, they were so isolated down in the hills of Tennessee. Once every 6 or 7 months, they go into the town that was Oneida, but they were way outside the town. And he told me that. He said, you know, I'd never seen anybody outside of a white person until I came to Cincinnati.
Not much diversity there. Where is it in Kentucky that they have the people who are blue? You know what I'm talking about, Brandon?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It's some sort of condition, right? I mean, it's some sort of.
Yes.
It's from getting too much copper in you. It's down in Copper Line, Kentucky, to me.
It is. Shut up.
No, it is from getting too much copper.
God, you're full of shit.
The blue is from getting too much
copper. Yeah, but there's no such
Copper
Line, Kentucky. Shut up.
James Taylor sang about it.
Good Lord.
Copper Line.
Oh, well, if James Taylor sang her about it, then, you know, must be it. He's seen fire and he's seen rain, so I'm sure he's seen Copperville, Kentucky. Now.
Okay, since you bring that up, Brandy, what the fuck is that song about? I've heard it's about his girlfriend who died in a plane crash. I heard it was...
No, that's fire and rain, but she just killed herself to me.
I just said that.
It's about
fuck's
her,
sake.
Her girlfriend.
Yes, I don't care.
She killed herself.
And I can't stress enough how much I don't care.
Well,
I
he
don't
said, you
care.
Know, he makes
Who
reference.
Cares?
He makes reference about a plane in song.
Because he was in a band, Timmy, called The Flying Machine. So he was in the sanitarium. He was in the psych ward when he wrote that song, Timmy. And Sweet Dreams and Flying Machines and Pieces on the Ground meant that his band was breaking up.
Okay. Thank you, Colonel. You're the voice of reason.
Well, the devil didn't know that one.
I wish she would get on with the script because our listeners here want to know the story.
Yeah, they want to know the story. Well, they don't want to hear a bunch of talking nonsense. Now, just get on with the devil. Let's go.
The line of bullshit that Chuck just fed us all. All right, let's see.
That's
here.
A true story.
I think that is right.
Oh, my God. I don't care. James Taylor has nothing to do
with
this big boobied chick.
I don't know.
So,
that part
I want to talk
Taylor
about the attack
was,
of the giant leeches.
I'm talking about the
I
want to
talk about attack
Kentucky.
Of the giant leeches. There's no such place as Copper Line, Kentucky.
Continue, Brandon.
Now, thank you, baby Jesus. All right. So, Attack of the Giant Leeches came out in 1959.
Great year.
The movie is set. The movie is set in the Florida Everglades. Where a pair of larger-than-human son of a bitch, where'd it go?
You lost
are.
It again? You still
no, I got
missed
it.
Your
it
mark?
Came back up.
We
no,
gave. We were stalling for you, Brandy, to give you time to get
oh
your shit together by talking about Copper Line, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And that doesn't exist. Listen, Linda. So these pair of larger-than-human intelligent leeches... That live in an underwater cave.
Well, I'm sure they
it's
were
like
very
the two
intelligent.
Of you.
We are leeches.
Yes, they begin dragging locals down to their cave, where they slowly feed on them, draining their victims of blood. This time, Yvette had the leading female role, as she played Liz Walker, a Florida vixen who is killed by the giant leeches after she cheats on her husband.
Well, see, that's a lesson. That's a moral lesson there, Brandy. If you're a vixen, you run the risk of being eaten by giant leeches.
Yes, you do. The film was low budget and independently produced, Get Out of Town, and was shot over 8 days in 1958. To help promote the film, Yvette reluctantly agreed to appear as Playboy's Playmate of the Month in the July 1959 issue. In addition to Playboy, she
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Appeared nude in several other men's magazines during this time. Yvette would later claim she didn't make any money on these promotional shoots and only made scale wages for her work in the movie. In all, Yvette earned less than $300 for her work in the film. In 1959, Yvette married Leonard Burns, but the marriage did not even last a year. Leonard had a drinking problem and became very emotionally and physically abusive.
It takes a lot of balls to be abusive to a 50-foot woman.
You ain't kidding.
Right.
Especially if she's a leech.
It takes a lot of alcohol to think, I can take that one on.
Despite the recognition Yvette was receiving for her roles in popular B-movies, she wasn't happy.
Well, she wanted to be taken seriously. She made $300. Who in the fuck would be happy with that?
You think being 50 foot tall, she could demand a little bit more higher salary.
How much do you think you had to unfold that centerfold for a 50 foot naked woman, Timmy? you'd have to start at one end of the block and just keep unrolling the pages, Timmy.
You know what? Here's the thing, and I hate to do this to you, but you're both fucking idiots, because she wasn't the 50-foot woman. She was the smaller woman, and it was her co-star that was the 50-foot woman.
I think that would be attractive. I think 50-foot tall woman would be attractive.
I like tall
women.
She's
ugly, of course.
She's ugly.
All right. Amazon.
Yvette.
Amazon porn.
Yvette desired more serious and satisfying roles.
Especially when they wear those big heels, make them even taller. Yeah.
Right where you're at breast level, Timmy, where you're looking them straight into the breasts.
I think if they were 50 foot tall, we'd be looking them right in the knee.
Yeah,
she's not the 50 foot tall woman.
Well, she should have been.
Yeah, it
was Allison Hayes.
She'd have been hot.
Y'all are giving her a lot of credit. She was just a little short woman who had the affair or whatever it was. She was not a 50-foot woman.
See, here's the thing. You keep stopping and starting, and it's hard to follow you, devil.
And the reason
I'm the one.
The reason I even researched this podcast, I thought she was the 50-foot woman.
Yeah.
I thought that would be a good story. Let's do a podcast on the 50-foot woman. And now you're telling me she
screwed the pooch on it.
Next time I'll do it.
You screwed the pooch.
I'll do a podcast on Allison Hayes next time.
Do a deep dive on the research, Timmy.
Right. All right.
But I tell you what, if Allison Hayes had died as cool as Yvette Vickers will die, I would have done it on her, but she didn't. She just had like cancer or something. Boring.
She died cool. Okay. So her subsequent film roles were usually uncredited, but her career received a very high-profile boost when she starred opposite Paul Newman and Patricia Neal in HUD.
Oh, now that was a good movie.
HUD was a good movie. That was a real good movie,
And Patricia Neal, a lot of people don't know this, but Patricia O'Neal played in the movie.
It's
the
Neal.
Yeah.
Patricia Neal.
Yeah.
Just as long as we're throwing stuff out, you might as well.
Okay. Patricia Neal
For fuck's sake.
played in the pilot of The Waltons, Colonel.
She did. She did. Yeah. And
oh, my God. Are you kidding?
John
Are you
Boy,
joking? The Waltons?
And here you go, Miss Smarty Pants. She was Patricia O'Neill until she got to the United States and the Irish were so discriminated against that she
you
dropped
the
O.
You are so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Let her be.
I would totally believe that this was just a typo by Timmy.
No, it wasn't.
And I'm
until,
open to it being,
I mean,
a typo by Timmy.
The Irish
but here's
being
the thing.
Discriminated
Not
against
the
is a long, long, long. We have a long history of discriminated against the Irish.
I mean, she was in the pilot for The Waltons?
She, yeah.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Now, I don't want any confusion, Brandy. She did not play the role of John Boy. Although, if she wanted to identify as such, we would.
I mean, she could have.
We'd be okay with that.
We'd be okay with it. But she was mother, you know, the mother, the Mama Walton. And she
Are
played
you kidding
it.
Me?
No, she played in that.
That is the most fascinating fact I've
well,
ever
heard. Well, you know what I didn't
heard.
Like about John Boy? It's like y'all settled down.
His mole.
You're just starting to doze off, and it's like, it's like you doze. You know, you get in that twilight area while you're just about to go into a good sleep, and then you have him saying, "Good night, Edgar." It's like, you know, fuck
it
you,
was
John
his mole.
Boy. Why don't you shut up?
You know, you
here.
Think,
or
they
you
had,
know what?
You had 11 one. Kids. You think one of them would be attractive?
Yeah. You're in the middle of pulling one off, you know, and you're thinking about the 50-foot woman, and you're getting close, and it's like.
And then John Boy's mole starts
and
talking.
And then John Boy's
I know.
Like.
It's distracting.
Oh, good night, Tommy. And you're like, ah.
There wasn't a Tommy.
But, of course there wasn't. But Edgar, you know, Edgar was on there. What the fuck? Good night, Edgar. Get the,
but,
shut it.
But, Colonel, I'm sure, Colonel, you've rubbed one out to Mary Ellen before.
Oh, who hasn't? Oh. Who hasn't?
First of all, he was all about eight is enough. Let's settle down.
And what about
That's
Grandma?
That's what Chuck was into.
You know, don't
you
underestimate
know, I like,
the mature woman, Timmy.
I like Buddy. What did Buddy play on? Christy Nicol. I had a hots for her when I was a kid.
She is a lesbian.
Was it
though,
eight
Timmy?
Is enough?
Well, I know she's a lesbian now. But
she wouldn't have had anything to do with us, Timmy.
She probably was then, too. Can we? Okay.
She was very now. Pretty, though. She still is.
Yeah, but she's okay. not. She's not pro-penis.
So,
well, you know, she hasn't run into the
where
corner,
I'm getting
Timmy.
To be. All right.
Well, you could. I wonder if she played softball and kissed her teammate on home plate.
And liked
I have that
it.
Fantasy. All right. Yeah, I have that fantasy.
I kissed the teammate and I liked it.
All right. So, Yvette played Lily Peters in the movie. Stop.
Lily
she
Peters.
Was supposed to have,
Lily
damn
Peters.
It. And she was supposed to have a much bigger part in the film, but Newman's wife, Joanne Woodward.
Wait a minute.
Was
you're
unhappy.
Saying, are you saying she was supposed to have, Lily Peters was supposed to be bigger?
Yeah. Peters was supposed to be bigger in that one. But they turned it into a small Peters.
Fuckers.
Much like his mole does. Right as he in the midst of.
But HUD, was HUD was a major movie. I mean, you know, it was a big, that was a big time movie.
Well, and I'd like to tell you about more of it.
Well,
I really,
me.
Really would.
Yeah,
all
Paul,
right.
Paul Newman. And
all right. Shut up.
Okay.
Just shut up. Shut up and listen. As Lily Peters.
Regale us, devil.
As Peter. Lily Peters, Yvette Lily was Peter. Supposed to have a much bigger part in the film, but Newman's wife, Joanne Woodward, was unhappy with the couple's on-screen chemistry and arranged to have most of her scenes cut before the film's release.
Oh, that Joanne Woodward was a powerful woman in Hollywood.
Yeah, she was. Did Paul Newman, didn't Paul Newman sell like organic foods or something?
Yeah, he still does. Right. I mean,
well,
it's
no,
still
he
a
don't.
Thing.
He's
His company
been dead
still
for
does
a long
that.
Time. You don't sell shit.
His company still does that.
Paul Newman shows up to sell you some shit. You just run because that motherfucker's been dead for 10 years.
It's Zombie Newman. He's Zombie
yeah,
Newman.
Zombie. It's Zombie Newman's own salad dressing is what it is.
Do not buy organic food by
Vampire,
from zombies,
Vampire
yeah.
Newman. Yeah.
Yeah. Would hurry up, Brandy.
Come on, Brandy. People waiting to hear what happens here.
Despite the career setback, HUD should have led to better things. But as it transpired, major film stardom eluded Yvette.
You know,
from
I can't.
From the mid-60s onward, Vickers concentrated mainly on the theater. Like many attractive blonde actresses, Vickers' personal life always attracted more attention than her performances.
And her titties.
She appeared frequently in Hollywood newspapers and tabloids.
Her breasts attracted more attention than her performances.
Yeah,
you
she's
know,
50 foot
her,
tall.
I never
tall
understood her.
You know what? Chuck.
Why would they make a movie?
Me.
Think about this. Answer this for me first, Devil. Why would they think a movie would be popular about some big government agency? You know what I mean? It's
yeah,
like
I don't know.
Yeah. HUD. There ain't nothing exciting about HUD, a bunch of apartments.
That's really not.
That's like having a movie and calling it Department of Labor. Who's going
right.
to go watch that?
Yeah, DOL. Ooh,
DOL.
It's a cliffhanger. Ooh. Yeah.
It is. But, now, Tom, or to whatever your name is, Chuck.
See, you
please
thinking
tell
about
us
Tom, too.
About,
I planted Tom pulling one off in your head.
I'm not sure who Tom is.
Well,
Chuck, tell us about her cool death.
I wonder, Colonel, if she's 50 foot tall.
Oh, my God, nobody's 50 foot tall.
Wonder what she would be like when she had to go to the bathroom. That would be
scary. Oh, man, yeah. You'd have to get a special. You'd have to really find, like, valleys and stuff, you know, like a river. You'd have to take her down to the river and say, that's probably like the Ohio River. Take a dump in the river. So, you know, you got a stream. Big enough to that scared a catfish away, Timmy.
It would. That's probably what, you know, problems we have with pollution. That's probably comes
50
from
50-foot woman. Yeah. Taking a bath in there while it's that time of month, attracting sharks.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, she could go out into the beach even when it was that time of month. Ain't no 50-foot shark or great white shark going to mess with a 50-foot woman.
That's because
that's just like a little crappie to her. You know,
Brandy,
she toss it on the beach.
Brandy, let me ask you this question: when you were growing up, and you know, I'm sure your mom took you aside and told you some, you know, talked to you about how to become a woman and all that. When you are, did they ever tell you not to go swimming in the ocean that time of the month for fear of sharks?
Well, I mean, we live in Ohio. So usually that it wasn't an issue.
Well, but I mean, you know, spring break or whatever.
What about bears?
No.
What about bears? Did they warn you about bears?
Well, again, not in, you know, this time we're not in Alaska.
Well, I know, but you grew up in Copperline,
close
Kentucky.
To it.
Yeah,
I didn't. I did not actually. So, you know, I didn't. But, Charles, please tell us about Yvette's really
By the
cool,
way,
according to Timmy, death.
Because I knew I'd been there before, but just passed through.
Ugh.
I looked up on Google Maps, and there is, in fact, a Copperline, Kentucky. So, once again, Devil, wrong.
You were wrong, Brady.
Wrong.
Admit it.
Now, Yvette, her third and final marriage was to actor Tom Holland. And from 67 to 69, they had a lot of marital bliss.
That's not the same guy, Brandy, that played in Billy Jack.
No.
This is a different guy.
Oh, okay, I was worried.
Different Tom Holland. But yeah, like with the other marriages, it was rocky. He had numbers of affairs in the marriage. Yvette later claimed that he'd been emotionally abusive.
See, now, I don't get that. How can you be emotionally abusive to a 50-foot woman?
It's ballsy. It's a bold move, Cotton. Because
you think
she
he made fun of her height?
Yeah.
You didn't make fun, yeah. Told
tall no, she wore glasses. He called her Four Eyes.
Oh.
Yeah.
I never thought of that.
Well, and she'd been married twice before. So he called her third choice, Yvette. So anyway, with three divorces behind her, Yvette was rumored to have had affairs with Lee Marvin and Cary Grant.
Ooh, Lee Marvin.
Mm-hmm.
He played in Cap the Lou, Colonel. That's
a classic movie, yeah.
Yeah.
The Rattlesnake, yeah. Timmy.
Uh-huh.
He ain't got classic. No teeth. Now, she also had a 15-year on-and-off relationship with Jim Hutton, who she would later describe as her best friend. Now, you know who Jim Hutton is, don't you?
No.
Jim Hutton, the millionaire on Gilligan's Island.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was cheating on Lovey.
Oh my God! You mean he? Lovey wasn't very lovey, I guess.
No, I'll tell you what. I'd toss one in Lovey in a heartbeat, boy.
That you
show Lovey some loving.
You would choose her over.
I never got the whole Marianne Ginger thing when I was like, oh, Lovey in those gowns.
But you know, what else Tom Hutton played on? Wasn't he like the voice of Mr. Magoo?
He was. He was.
Now, he was a big star, Brandy. So if you had to choose, Colonel, between Lovey, Ginger, and Marianne.
Oh, I'm all over Lovey. Because, you know, because Ginger and Marianne, you know, they've been the subject of adoration. They got, you know, they take it for granted. But Lovey, she appreciates it. You know what I mean? Lovey.
And she's more experienced.
Lovey's grateful. And she's more experienced. She can do some things I put in my book. You know, because those are things I wouldn't want Ginger to try out. She's just a novice, really.
You know Ginger. Well, she's probably spent a lot of time on the casting couch because she was an heiress.
She has. She did.
I mean, she was an actress, right?
So, yeah, Marianne played that girl next door, but she was of loose moral character, Timmy.
I can see that, Brandy. Can you see that, Brandy?
No, I'm finding it hard to see much of anything right this second.
Yeah, Marianne was better known for people recognize the back of her head more than they recognize her face.
Wow,
she was that bad.
Oh, she's got those piggy tails or whatever. They're,
yeah,
not piggy tails. What are
those handlebar piggy tails?
They're pigtails.
So anyway. From the 70s.
I think the captain should have been banging because he actually had, he was the authority there, right? I mean, he was the captain. Is he a captain when they're on the island? Because he doesn't.
I think he loses all his authority. You know who should have been getting more than anybody was a professor. It'd be like, you bitches want me to make you some, you know, cold cream or makeup out of coconuts. You're going to have to come back in my cabin with me. And my little hut with me.
That's a good point, Brandy.
Yeah.
It's really not. There's no point to any of this.
But well, Mr. Magoo, I wish she would have married Mr. Magoo because I think he would have been a good husband for her.
Wasn't that guy in It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World,
mm-hmm,
too?
He was.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Well, from
Charles,
the 70s,
continue.
She made occasional film and TV appearances. She was the 50-foot woman on Mannix. In that episode, she played the 50-foot woman on Cannon. She was in that one.
Her
was the 50-foot woman, yeah.
I love Cannon. I love when he ran. ran after it. He ran after the bad guy.
Yeah. Well, finally, didn't that motherfucker just end up in a wheelchair from running?
No, that was Ironsides.
Ironside. Okay.
That was Perry Mason. Yeah.
That's right, Perry Mason. How do you end up in a wheelchair? Was it a World War II injury or something? Nobody ever said it.
I don't know, but they had that cool, you know, they had that custom-made van for him back.
Yeah.
To get around. But, yeah, you know, you think, you know, get your SSI, stay at home.
No. Yeah, just leave people alone.
Exactly.
Now, you know what he'd have today, one of those with the stick shift things on it and everything else to be driving himself around.
Yeah.
She played in The Dead Don't Die, but she was never really able to land that serious role, the one that would showcase her acting talents, Timmy. Now, she occasionally found work as a jazz singer, and she played clubs in and around Los Angeles. She also worked in real estate to supplement her income. And at times...
Now, I just want to say, Colonel, that... Being a 50-foot woman, she could play in clubs in and around Los Angeles.
Yeah, all at the same time.
Yes.
So at times, finding work was difficult, and it was reported that she would have to visit soup kitchens, food pantries, just to get enough to eat. She would always appear in disguise, feeling ashamed to be in need of charity. And there were even rumors, Timmy, that she resorted to eating dog food.
Oh, that's sad. But, you know, how
that's
does she,
a lot
I
of
mean,
dog food
it's
for a
hard,
54
it's hard.
Oh, my God.
And it's hard for her. I'm sure it was hard for her to come up with the disguise when she went to these food pantries, being a 50-foot woman.
I mean, she stood out,
Brandy.
No, that's not me.
Fucking hyperactive monkeys, would you please let us get through this?
Well, she was okay. So we got the big girl eating dog food.
Yeah.
She was able to rebound in the '90s.
Jobo. Yeah. No, that's sad. That's sad. We hope none of our listeners
are eating dog food.
Actually, dog food is pretty expensive, so I don't know.
You ain't fucking lying, man. I just went out. I went out and bought a 50-pound bag of dog food for Rudy. It was $49. That's a dollar a pound. Food I eat is not a dollar a pound around here, Timmy.
Well, does Rudy eat the same food as Bo, or does Bo eat something?
They both eat the champagne of dog foods. It's some kind of Pro Plan, Blue Mole, Blue Hill, or I don't know.
But it's
expensive. Basically, I think it's just some cheap shit that they throw the highest price tag on.
Buffalo.
Yeah, the Blue Buffalo.
There it is.
Yeah. Now, Vic has had some success as a cabaret singer and a dancer. She had limited success as
a tap dancer, a 50-foot woman tap dancer. That'd be crazy.
She had limited success as a knife thrower in the circus. That didn't work out real well. For her partner. Worked out okay for her, but not for her partner.
I can understand that.
So she tried to sing. Now, in 1990s, she paid tribute to her parents by releasing the jazz CD, A Tribute to Charlie and Maria. Mm-mm. Now, she was a dedicated animal rights campaigner, and she was active in the groups PETA and Greenpeace.
Well,
she was described
maybe that's why she was eating the dog food, Colonel.
That might be. She was trying to become one with the animals, with those spirit animals.
Yes.
She was described as independent and kept to herself, so she was probably a serial killer too.
Well, now, if you're 55,
that's how we would describe Timmy.
If you're 50 foot tall, you know you are kind of independent.
You are.
Oh my God!
Now, in her later years, she became paranoid about being stalked. As a result,
it is Timmy. No wonder he wanted to do this.
She became increasingly reclusive. In her later years, she was Norma Desmond at 50 foot. She was a larger version. She was Norman Desmond in scale. And this would contribute to the tragedy that followed. On May 2, 2011, a neighbor visited
On May 2. Jesus, God.
That's 1 week before my birthday, Colonel.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is. You know what? I'm so used to being a colonel and addressing the troops and, you know, May 2. So we don't say stuff
May
like
two.
The second. We're very concise and succinct. Something that wouldn't hurt
you. Are
you?
You.
It wouldn't
Are
hurt
you,
you to learn
succinct?
How to be, devil.
Because I got an hour and 5 minutes worth of bullshit that would disagree with you.
Well, all I know is I knew when I was supposed to start. I knew where my parts were. I'd already read my stuff.
Exactly,
I'm not saying
Colonel.
You're not
you,
professional, but I'm saying
you
ain't
are
professional.
You are a professional, Colonel. And this woman, she deserves much better than this, Brandy. She was an actress. She was a human being. She was 50 foot tall, but she was still a human being, and she deserves us to take this more seriously.
Now, you know by this time, those boobs were sagging back. Could you imagine the effect?
God.
The gravity has on your boobs when you're 50 foot tall.
And the cellulite.
Yeah, you could lose a man in that shit.
Thank you.
Just be walking across
for
your
all
ass
of that
and
respect
like,
that you're showing this poor woman. All the respect you're showing this poor woman.
Yeah, it looked like just a big, looked like the moon, really.
Yeah.
Craters in there. What?
Oh, my God.
Well, she became paranoid about being stalked, so she became reclusive.
So you're saying a rogue.
She is Timmy.
You were saying, Colonel,
how are you not hearing this?
You're saying,
how are you not seeing this? This is Timmy in like 2 months,
Colonel.
This is Timmy.
Yes. You're saying that you know you could. They would probably send up a rover to land on her.
Actually, well, because by this time, you know, and I'm not saying. Now we got a 50 foot woman. You know, she's up there in years, so she's hanging a 3-foot pecker on her by now.
That tramp stamp isn't looking too good right now.
No, it's not. No, it's not. You can read it from the space shuttle. So, but anyway, neighbors visited her run-down Beverly Hills home, and after pushing through a mountain of unopened fan mail, bills, letters, they found the mummified corpse of the 74-year-old actress who was lying next to a heater that was still running. Now, props. I'm going to say this. Props to the heater manufacturer, because it ran for 2 years and didn't burn down the house.
So they found her dead, and she'd been there for 2 years?
They think roughly about 2 years.
Wow.
Foul play was not suspected.
Wait a minute. No, wait. I don't think they do think that.
Well,
I think it was a year, but still.
I think it was a year,
yeah.
Chuck.
It still is not going to smell very good.
She's been dead. Well, it's not going to smell that bad
mummified.
Because now she's mummified.
Well,
yeah.
The house had fallen strangely into disrepair, and peculiarly, the mailbox was filled with letters because her dead ass wasn't coming out and getting them. The postman did not sense anything was wrong.
He did not ring twice, Brandon.
Yeah.
He is astute.
That's one of my... Oh, Timmy, you just gave me a little bit of a chub thinking about Jessica Lange and the postman rings twice.
Jessica Lange.
Jesus,
listeners,
God.
I apologize, but I am...
like three more sentences.
I apologize,
sentences.
But I'm wrapping
finish
this
up.
One up with kind of a
bring
wee
it home.
Bit of a Woody here thinking about Jessica Lange.
Well, you know what? Jessica Lange was attractive, and she wasn't 50 foot tall.
No, she was only 5'7". Only five,
I don't know
seven.
American
how
American Horror Story,
that.
She loses one of her legs.
I don't,
that should really get your motor humming.
I don't know how Yvette Vickers, a 50-foot woman, goes unnoticed for a year after she's died. She's dead.
Well, she didn't make a lot of noise. She didn't draw a lot of attention to herself. So, I mean, it wasn't like she was having loud parties when she was dead.
What happened when she fell? I mean, I'm sure that...
She stayed down, and nobody thought to do a wellness check on her, and it's a very tragic story. The end. Thank you, everyone.
And then they had to make, I mean, can you just imagine the kind of hole they had to dig for that? They had to get backhoes in there for a long time.
Chuck.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, she should add her own reality show. You know, like My 600-Pound Life.
Exactly.
You know,
my 50-foot life.
You know what?
Yeah.
We want to thank all of our listeners. Tim, please finish that up.
We would like to thank all of our listeners. And I would before we get into the Patreon list, I don't have it updated yet, but Buffy and our good friend Jody Wells, thank you for supporting us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, just go to patreon.com/historydreams, where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or a kernel.
Or just a wee little bit, Timmy. You know, I was just thinking about this, Timmy. I don't think that I would want to take on a 50-foot woman, because the scream that I would elicit from that woman, Timmy,
would just be
horror.
You Patreon
know what I mean?
Supporters.
Could you imagine what that would be like?
It would be blood curling.
Could you
Brad,
do it?
Kernel.
It would be, yes, it would be terrible. It would be awful. Can you thank our Patreon people, please?
Do you have to pee
please.
Or something? Well, you know, we don't have to pay more for a longer podcast.
Yeah, we
try to give our listeners this and their dreary little lives. They have nothing else going on in their life.
They don't have
this
a
podcast,
lot going.
Right?
And we're trying
so please,
to brighten their
let's
day.
Let's thank our Patreon supporters.
Are you trying to knock please. One off with Dave here early in the morning? Are we keeping you from being sexually fulfilled?
I just want to go. I just want to go to the grocery and
I've kept
get on
many
with my day
Colonel. I've
eat
kept
a little lunch.
I've kept many women from being sexually fulfilled, Colonel.
It's a talent, Timmy.
It is
a talent.
Yeah,
it is.
Okay.
All right. Let's start with Louise Siddons, Tessie
Thank
Poor,
you.
Kate Byer, Danielle Townsend, Marianne McKnight, Adam McWaters, Elaine Baker, Alexandra, Allie, Alicia Mincy. The Already Gone Podcast, Amanda Christine, Amber Anderson, Amber Scoville, Anna Gerline, Andrea Odell, Andrew Frazier, Angelo Santos, Angelo Villafane, Anna Garrett, Annette Petray.
Colonel.
Yes, sir.
One second. We want to congratulate one of our longtime listeners.
Oh, yes.
The lovely Kasha. She got married yesterday, I think. Congratulations, Katya. We love you. Thank you for being with us all these years. But continue.
Yes. Okay. Anon, Becky Traina, Ben Derbovich, Brandy McBride.
He likes how you pronounce his name.
Bend over, bitch. Brandy McBride. Bridget
Bernard. I think Ben would like a 50-foot woman.
Yeah, you know he would. You know he
Who
would.
Wouldn't really? Who wouldn't really?
Brittany Martin. And me. And Kelly Jones. He had a lisp in that song. You're missing that, devil. Christy Lee and Canadian True Crime.
Did you mention Boomer?
Boomer.
Sure. Okay.
Boomer. Okay. Carl Aspen, Carol Elise, Charlie from Crime Lines, Cheryl LeBlanc, Chris Lane, Chrissy Howard, Cindy Clark, and Diane Trowbridge, of course. The Comeback Podcast, Daniel Bissett, Diane Student from Just History Podcast, right, Timmy?
No, she's from History Goes
Bump. I'm sorry. Erica Kinney, Aaron Turner, Fiona Crisp, Gina Green, John Payne, Jahara Lopez, Jamie Dent, Iro, Jason Dykes, Jeff, and Don Chestnut.
Oh, I bet Jeff, in his single days, I bet he would have dated a 50-foot woman.
He could have handled her.
Because he's tall. Her. He's tall.
He's very tall, but he ain't 50-foot tall.
No.
Jess Watford, Jennifer Svoboda, Jessica Greeno, Julia Rodriguez, Karen Bonds, Kelly Charette, Kim Stroop, who's always lovely to see on the page, Kimberly Smith, check in with us. We haven't heard from you in a while. Christine Malachinsky. Hold on, Timmy. We got a long list. Taking a drink of water here.
Okay.
All right. My instrument is refreshed here, Timmy. Laura O'Reilly. Lydia Wasson Fisher. Maja Marsha Boris. Mark Marie. Markia Smith. Mary Courtney Sheldon. Melissa Montoya. Michelle Johns. Miss Dex, Mrs. Colonel.
She's coming to DweebCon this year. I'm excited about that.
Yes, she is. One of our own Buckeyes, Paula Kimes. The Pleasing Terrors podcast. Spy Stories podcast, Timmy.
You know what? I'm going to take the Pleasing Terrors tour in Charleston when I'm down there this week.
Oh, that sounds cool.
With Mike Brown, yeah. Yeah, it should be good.
Robert Sherrard?
He does a ghost tour, and it is like really, really
Charleston's a creepy place anyway. It's like New Orleans, so.
Yeah.
Ron Montessario, Keith Whitfield, Sarah Bloom, Charlene, Shannon Arnold, Shirley Strap, of course, Stephen Alsop, Stephen Potts, Terry Stratford, The Vanish Podcast, They Walk Among Us, Rosanna and Ben, Tyrone, Todd Long, Tommy Lane is in my ears. Okay. The mystery woman, Leanne Flanagan, who you will be with all week this week, Timmy.
Yes.
Gather up some clues for me, Timmy. Just shoot me some clues now and again.
Okay, Colonel. I may have to do that in code. So
that's okay. Do it in code. I can break it.
Okay.
Vive. But then she'll break it, and she'll find out you're sending code and kill you. So
No, I've learned quite a few tricks from listening to your other podcast.
Spy Colonel. Stories? Yeah.
Spy Stories with you and Karen Michelle. So I've learned some tricks.
We're going to have Miss Leanne on there one day and find out exactly what she does. Jen Lee, Alan Cox, Whitney James, the most dangerous dog in podcasting, Rudy, and Queen of all dweebs. Yeah.
When is Bo going to be a Patreon supporter?
I believe, you know what? I'm going to get him down here and get him on the computer. He's you know, I'm going to make a video of him. Last night I had a cheese puff. Uh-huh. I had him on his back paws for a good 60 seconds just coming after the cheese puff.
Well, you the need dog to get
with that stupid
dog can
on.
Basically the dog can basically just walk on his hind legs to get anywhere he wants.
He has quite the wardrobe, Colonel.
Do you know what? Now this is no lie. You know what that little sweater in that picture is? I was just at a thrift store and bought a onesie and cut off the bottom of it. That's okay. How you dress a little dog on a budget.
He looks very dapper. Very dapper.
Oh, he's a dapper little dog, all right. And the queen of all dweebs, Timmy, Dottie Scott.
Yes.
Thank you, Dottie.
Mom, only one person died in this, so sorry about that.
Yeah, but it was a 50-foot person, so that should count for something.
Brandy, your final thoughts on the 50-foot woman, Yvette Vickers.
You two are fucking idiots. That's my final thought for the whole fucking week.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.